The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Well, now we're joined by Jenny Branigan. We had hoped to talk to Jenny on Monday because then events overwhelmed us. We had so many things happening. We had to ask Jenny to return today to talk about keeping injury-free before the Dublin Marathon. I see so many people in the early hours of the morning jogging and running around the place. So Jenny Branigan, chartered physiotherapist, is going to guide us through staying injury-free. Jenny, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, questions come in straight away. I'm running the Dublin Marathon this year. I'm about to do my longest run, 32.2 kilometres, before I begin my taper tomorrow, because the marathon is a fortnight away this coming Sunday.
Yes.
So, but I sustained an IT band injury that's still not perfect about a month ago. I wanted to ask how to mitigate it getting worse tomorrow with this long run so I don't have to take another 5 days off from training.
So the IT band is, it comes from basically the outside of your hip. So 2/3 of your gluteal muscles form into this IT band and it goes down the outside of your thigh and it attaches on the outside of your knee. So one of the problems we find when people have an IT band is that when the mileage has increased, the strength of the buttock muscles isn't matching the increase in mileage. So we tend to see it later on in the training phase at around this stage, kind of end of September into October. So the key thing with the IT band is that people, of course, will usually get through the marathon with an IT band problem, but you've still 2 weeks to go at this stage. So what I would be looking at is a little bit of work on trying to build that strength over the next week, but then the following week, you don't want to try to build new strength because you really need to be trying to maximise your rest at that stage. So if you do have a long run to do tomorrow, I'd be really mindful of trying to activate the glutes before you go out for your run. So some banded work to try and get those glutes firing before you go for the run. I would be doing your normal preparation as regards warming up, preparing your body for what you're going to do. And then I'd be really careful with the recovery. And I would also have an appointment booked with your chartered physio for Monday morning to mitigate for any pain that you might feel after.
Now, we want to go through some of the facts and some of the myths about running injuries. A fact, the most common running injuries occur at or below the knee.
So we see lots around the knee, of course, but there are lots of others also. And again, it depends on your past injury history and it depends on your age as well. So certainly some of the normal niggly ones we'd see around the knee, the IT band can be one. We see that around the outside of the knee. We get a lot of patellofemoral pain. So that's where the kneecap moves up and down in its groove of the knee. So again, there's lots of different factors that can affect that. Strength above and below the knee, biomechanical issues, which is basically the alignment of your leg and the arches in your feet play a role there. So plenty of things that can happen around the knee. A lot of them can be mitigated by building up your strength. Now, at this stage, we've only 2 weeks to go, as I've already mentioned. So that's really something to consider earlier in the training. But the stronger you are around your knee, above it, so the gluteal muscles and even your core, and then below it, your calf muscles and the strength in your feet, all of these things play a role. It's not just the knee itself.
Now, things like Achilles tendinopathy, what's that?
So your Achilles tendon, you know what that is? The tendon connects muscle to bone. So a lot of times we find Achilles tendinopathies are irritations in the tendon because of poor calf strength. So we see particularly in people from the time they're in their 30s onwards, their lean muscle mass is starting to reduce through normal aging, like the way we get wrinkles or grey hair. But if you're not actively building up the strength in your calf muscles, the strain of that increased mileage has to go somewhere. So we see it coming into the Achilles often.
Now, tell me about shin splints. I mean, it's a strange kind of word. I know I suffered from it when I was training for a marathon years ago.
Yeah.
So I know how painful it is. But what is it?
It's an umbrella term. There's three different types of shin pain that comes under this shin splint heading. So the one that you probably had training for your marathon is medial tibial stress syndrome. So the inside of your shin bone, your tibia bone, you get this pulling and this dragging pain there. Again, that can be related to the alignment. So the arches of your feet, if they're too flat, you can get this traction force where the muscle actually attaches to the bone and that can cause this pain. It can be related to the surface that you run on also. But there's two other types of shin pain, stress fracture in the tibial bone and also a compartment syndrome. So a stress fracture obviously is an impact into the bone, so repeated trauma into the same spot in the bone, and that's a much more serious thing to be dealt with. And then a compartment syndrome is where you have increased pressure in the muscle compartment. So the fascia that envelops those muscles, when the muscles are pumping, when you're active and the blood is flowing through them, sometimes that fascia can be too tight for the muscle compartment.
How important are the shoes?
So the shoes are very important. The shoes are very important. So we always talk about changing your shoes regularly every 300 or 400 miles. We also look at how appropriate are the shoes that you're wearing for the type of alignment that you have. So we see flat footed. So the arch is dropping, the inside arch is dropping to the floor. We see high arched. So again, you can have different problems associated with those different types of arch profiles.
Now, the shoes I was wearing back in the day were not the high tech shoes that you have today. How many kilometres can you use a pair of shoes for? When should you change them?
Typically, the recommendation is 300 to 400 miles. But again, if they're getting repeatedly wet and then they're drying, you start to lose that shock absorbency maybe a little bit sooner. So again, it depends. Typically, we'll see people have two or three pairs of the same runners and they work between those.
People say running ruined my knees. True or false?
False. So there's lots of things that can affect that. Ultimately, what we're looking at is how measured were you with your training? So do you give yourself appropriate recovery time, or are you one of these people that will just run through anything? Have you got good strength again above and below? So we look at that strength through the gluteal muscles and through the core muscles. And you have to think about the whole leg as the chain rather than just that knee in isolation. So the strength you have above and below is really, really vital. I mentioned surface already. That's an important point. Do you always run on that same hard concrete surface, or do you mix it up a little bit? But equally, you should also think about the type of training you're doing. So you should be cross training, swimming, cycling, running, doing some Pilates. Absolutely strength training, because you will be a much better runner if you do strength training. The World Health Organization recommend 2 strength sessions per week on top of your 150 minutes of moderate activity. But interestingly, when you're over 65, the strength training recommendation goes up to 3 times. Strength is vital.
I damaged the soleus muscle below the calf. It was like being shot. Any advice?
Yeah. So your soleus is one of your calf muscles for sure. If it feels like you were shot, you need to make sure that you get that checked, that you didn't have a rupture in your Achilles tendon. That's one of the ways that people describe that, as if somebody shot them in the back of the leg. But your soleus muscle is a deep calf muscle. And again, it requires much more strength training than people typically anticipate. So you really need to be looking at probably 4 to 5 months of strength training to build up that soleus and make sure that it's appropriate, depending on the level of running that you want to be able to do.
How long does it take for an L1 stroke 2 disc rupture to heal? It's touching a nerve and my left leg is excruciating in its pain since Saturday. Can I speed up the fix? That's from Breed.
I would say there's no quick fix there, Breed, I'm sorry to say. So if it has just happened, that's good news. So in the acute phase, the more you deal with it appropriately and quickly, that's going to help for sure. So I would certainly speak to your chartered physio. But equally, if you're also having symptoms down the leg, you may need to work also with your GP there. So quick action is the key thing here.
I have a tendon injury at the top of the knee that won't go away. Squats are very painful. How do I strengthen the quad above it?
So again, what you need to look at is what exactly is going on there. So what caused that? What tendon is it? So at the back of the knee, you've got your hamstring tendons on either side. So what was the mechanism of injury? Because that's going to dictate how you deal with it. Certainly, if you're trying to squat and work on it yourself at home and these things are aggravating it, you'll probably need the guidance of your chartered physio there.
Can you ask Jenny about pain between the shoulder blades? I've been experiencing this the last few weeks of my marathon training.
Yes. So posture is an important piece here. And again, as you're running, mileage gets longer, you might be inclined to be hunching a little bit more. Again, if you're tensing, if you're a little bit worried about continuing with that longer mileage, you might find that you're tensing through your hands. So you need to have a look at that overall. Maybe get somebody to come out when you're doing your longer run at the end of it and video you as you run past to see what your posture is like. But then you can mitigate against that by doing some stretches in the upper spine. So trying to basically extend backwards and rotate to get away from that forward hunch posture.
Now, the question of stretching before exercise, stretching after exercise, warming up, how important
I would recommend
help?
Both. Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, the research is mixed on this. But if you think about it, that you're trying to prepare your body for what you're trying to do. So with the warm up, you're looking at a dynamic warm up. So you're moving through the range of motion that your joints have available to them. And you're preparing by raising your body temperature. You want to raise your heart rate. And that's a really key piece, because then your body is sort of expecting to have to move outside its comfort zone of movement. And then equally, when you're finished, you want to recover to reduce that stiffness and tension you'll feel the next day and even the second day after that delayed onset muscle soreness. So when you're finished, you want to do your static longer hold stretches. That's a really important piece.
Now, many people, when they go running, whether it's at speed or less than speedy running, they'll get a stitch.
Yes.
Now, how do you treat a stitch when you want to keep going? You don't want to give up. You don't want to give up for a stitch, for heaven's sake. Can you kind of remove it as you go?
They're very uncomfortable. Yeah. So what you can do, you can sort of press into it. So it's this kind of deep pain. It's underneath the rib. So you can press into it for sure. But what I recommend doing is breathing into the stitch. So when you're running, you're trying to breathe into that stitch and ease it out as much as possible.
But what is it actually? What is happening in this
stitch? It's like an irritation of the diaphragm or even the abdominal kind of membrane. So what you're looking at is, why do you get that stitch? So sometimes it's purely because you just are working at a level that you're not used to. So your body is reacting to that. But it can also be related to eating too much food maybe before your run. So have a look. If it's happening every time, have a look at your pattern of eating beforehand and make sure that that's not the cause.
And the final question, how do you stop cramping?
So a cramp is an involuntary contraction of the muscle. Usually, if the muscle's very tired.
You see footballers get it and their mates come along and they stretch their leg.
That's it. But it's usually towards the end of the match. Yeah. So fatigue plays a huge role. But then there's obviously hydration is something you need to consider as well if you're cramping a lot. And then there's also, I mean, you can take certainly, you know, these electrolyte drinks are important because, again, it can be related to a chemical imbalance. So the key thing for me would be trying to continue with the training because fatigue is the biggest reason and then hydration is next.
I have time for one last one. I had tendon surgery on my left hand. 2 months later, broke humerus in my right arm, plate and screws inserted. I was lifting more than 20 kgs. How do I get back? My strength is gone.
Your strength will come back, but you need to start at a much lower level. So think about where you were, and then it's going to take time to get back to that level. So you start off at the very basic level again, and you build your way back up from there. But it's absolutely possible to do.
You can do it, but it'll be slow.
You can do it, but just steady, Eddie, as you go.
All right, Jenny Brandigan, chartered physiotherapist. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.